your King James Bible, your King James only Bible, because you're in one of them fanatical, radical, extremist, narrow-minded, bigoted, intolerant, reactionary Baptist churches. It's King James only. And we are liberal, though. We're liberal, King James only. So we'll let you use the 1769 corrected edition. I saw some fool on the internet the other day was talking about all of us King James only people wasn't real King James Bible believers because we didn't use the 1611 King James. Most of the time we use those Oxford and Cambridge editions of 1769, all them spelling corrections. I thought, I'm guilty. I'm a liberal. But at least they didn't change the text. Yeah. He forgot about that part, didn't he? All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. My two favorite books in all the Bible is the first through the last. I like them all when I'm reading them. But I really do have an affinity for Ecclesiastes and the book of Job. Wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes and the book of Job are designed to make you think. If there's any two books in the Bible that ought to get you past your present situation and circumstance and make you look at the scope, the length, the width, the breadth, the depth of life and eternity, it would be Job and Ecclesiastes. So I enjoy them both. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says that King James 1611/1769, whatever, says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty. Give us wisdom. Give us power. We ask, we beseech thee for these things, that we might be enabled to preach, and to preach just now to these people assembled in this place. May the Holy Spirit undertake, move, work in our midst for our good and for thy glory. And Lord God, we'll be thankful and grateful for your goodness and your mercy toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that verse there, chapter 3, verse 1, said, to everything there is a season. And I want to talk to you about that for a minute this morning, on the thought, the changing seasons. And I was thinking about this. We went up in the mountains last weekend? I took my dad and his wife and went up and just rode around and, of course, the reason everybody goes up there is everybody wants to see the leaves, you know. And the higher you get, they have those brilliant reds and brilliant yellows and a little brown stuck in and spots of green here and there. And the sun shines on those mountainsides up there in the Blue Ridge, and it just knocks your eyeballs out. Just absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, it only occurs at the changing of the season. And we were riding around there, and my dad was talking about where he was born. We went up toward Bat Cave and some places, and then we went out on the backside of Marion, North Carolina, where I was raised on Tunnel Ridge. And they don't call it Tunnel Ridge anymore. It was Tunnel Road, wasn't it? They changed it. And of course, the little old house we had back there, it's gone. But it was kind of a nostalgic thing, you know, and get a little melancholy and thinking about and being introverted and that kind of stuff. But I was thinking about it. The seasons change. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says that the seasons are always going to be with us. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible says in the last days you won't be able to tell one season from another. Which is just typical. You know, they always get it backwards. Genesis 8:22 said that as long as the earth remaineth, there shall not fail of seed time and harvest and cold and heat and night and day. Day and night, spring, summer, winter, and fall is going to be with us till Jesus comes. And you would expect the world to get it wrong. The seasons are perpetual. Genesis 1:14 said that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars and all that, and he put those up in the sky so that you could tell the changing of the seasons. Now, what I want you to notice is that the seasons change, but it is not imperceptible. It's not something that happens without notice. Anybody who pays any attention at all can see the seasons changing. When winter is over and spring begins, you see the buds forming. Right? And you know what? You know spring is on the way. And a little while later, those buds pop open and begin to flower, and the leaves come, and then the flower of the bud disappears and the fruit is there, the hickory nut or the acorn or the fig, whatever it is. And then you almost don't see the fruit for a while. All you see is the tree is covered in leaves. I've got a pecan tree in our front yard, and when the pecans are forming, you almost can't see them. You've got to get right up on the tree to tell. Now, of course, later on, when the next season, you know, when fall comes, when you get through the summer, and the leaves fall, you can see all the fruits there, see, but only as the seasons change. I got to thinking about that. The seasons change. Our life is like the seasons. Matter of fact, you can pretty much equate the human experience to the four seasons. The spring, the summer, the fall, the winter. And you can make that analogy, and it works pretty good, and I'm going to do that here in a minute. I'm just going to do it a little different than I've ever done it before. I've noticed that in my lifetime, which has been brief, because everybody's life is brief, only young people think it's going to last forever. The Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. It's like the wisp of a cloud. Blink your eye and it's gone. But when we live it out day by day, especially in our youth, we just think it's going to be here forever. We've got all the time in the world. And now you get a few years down the road and you see the clock is moving faster than it ever moved. And you can see the ground coming up at you with startling speed. It's like you jumped off a building and you see the ground rushing up at you. But I've noticed that in that process, a lot of things have changed. I like things now that I didn't used to like. My wife gets frustrated at me sometimes, bless her soul. And she'll say, I never know what you're going to like. You ain't never ate that before. Well, I like it now. Amen. You ever notice that you had things that's changed? Sometimes the color you like changes. The style of clothes you wear changes. The kind of food you eat changes. Except for chicken. Chicken is perpetual. If you're predestined to be a Baptist, then you are predestined to like chicken. I'm just... That's the law of the universe. But other than that, amen, the kind of music that you listen to may change with life. All kind of things change. I bet you've had more than one hobby. Amen. I go in people's closets all the time, and I'll see where they've gone through a number of activities. You go up there and hear this. I was in a house not too long ago, and this guy had 5 golf bags in the attic. Complete set of golf clubs. They were all name brand, and he had every club. This guy's got about $1,500 in each one of them outfits. He don't use a single one of them. You know why? Well, he got into photography and he ain't got time for golf. It's all stuff just sitting there. When I was a young man, I was into hot rods. I liked cars. I built a little Hillman Husky station wagon one time, put a 327 Chevrolet engine in it, had the four-bolt mains and a big harmonic balancer and a crane cam, solid lifters, two four-barrel carburetors, Holley double pump or durable squirters, you know, set of Jardine headers, Muncie four-speed, 456 positive traction rear end, and had all that in an 1,800-pound vehicle. It'd do 133 and 10 flat, street legal. I like cars. Now I only look at Mercedes and BMWs. If it's noisy, if you can feel the bumps, if it doesn't have comfort control, heating and air, and at least a 6 CD changer, I ain't even interested. See, the seasons have changed. I was a lot more rough and tumble in my youth than I am now. I'm much more gentle than I once was. Say why? Well, the seasons have changed. I think about that stuff. I want to share a couple of things with you this morning. Springtime. The Bible, in a number of places, equates people and seasons. So I thought it would be fair to bring a message on that theme. Now, let's look at springtime. That's where things start. Now, I've heard people say that, you know, birth is the springtime of your life. Well, not really. That's the beginning of springtime, though. But it's not springtime. And death is not winter. Death is the end of winter. So, springtime. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 8, the planters shall plant. And Psalm 144:12 said that our sons may be as plants grown up. Our children, he compared them to plants. Well, everybody knows you plant in the springtime, seed time and harvest, spring and fall. Winter and summer, whole different ball game. Seed time is that time when you plant. Around the world, planting is done in springtime. In a couple of months, you'll see the farmers out here get out and turn the ground and roll it over and let it lay there through most of the winter. And then they'll come back with a different kind of plow in a couple of months when spring starts, get close to planting time. The weather starts to warm up and the ground gets a little warm. And they'll come back and they'll plow that thing again and bust it up and make it much finer. And then they'll come back and harrow it out and make rows and plant their seed and all that. All that's done in the springtime. You don't plant your corn in the middle of the summer. You don't plant your maters in the middle of the summer. You plant all that stuff in the springtime. You till that ground, you fertilize it, you let it lay, you get it prepared, you make your rows or whatever, then you plant the seed, and then you pray for God to send the rain at the right time and in the right amounts, and you watch over it and fertilize it and put insecticide on it and kill the boll weevil and all that kind of stuff so that you can grow a crop. That's what any good farmer is going to do. He's going to get them soybeans in the ground. He's going to get the cotton in the ground. He's going to get the beans in the ground. Everybody's going to plant their little gardens out beside their house and put you some okra out there, you know, and some squash. And everybody grows cucumbers. It is a sin in the South not to plant cucumbers if you have a garden. And squash. And I figured out a long time ago why they did that. It's not because cucumbers are good or that so many people like squash. I figured out they're cheap and they produce like crazy. And poor folks wanted all they could get for their nickel. Amen. Now, so springtime is a time for planting and growing and growing up and maturing. When you plant something, you don't plant it just for the fun of it. You plant it with a purpose. You plant it with a goal. There's an objective to all that work of buying that seed and tilling that ground and all that stuff. And the farmer goes out and he keeps an eye and he sees those little plants coming up through the ground, tender and delicate. And he hopes it don't get too hot and burn them up, don't get too dry and they die. Farmer's got to live by a lot of faith, buddy. But he watches them plants to grow, and that corn comes up, and there's that stalk, man. Now that stalk's up this high, and it's got all that tassel up on the top. But that guy's not looking to see how high that corn got or how much tassel it's got. He's looking on there to see if there's 3 or 4 ears of corn on that stalk. Amen? And he wants that tassel up there because he wants them birds and bees or whatever it is to come by and mess with that stuff, and then come down here and cross-pollinate and all that, so that corn will grow. And then he watches them ears. Man, they start out a little, about that big around, and they just get fatter and fatter and fatter. And he'll come through there every time, every now and then, and take one of them corn husks and peel it back like that and look and see if there's any worms in there. If there's one every now and then, no big deal. If there's a whole bunch of them, he's going to go get some insecticide and spray that corn, because he's not going to lose all that to the bugs. Amen. And he's watching that thing, what, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And he comes down there one day and he peels one of them things back and then rows the corn on that cob are just perfect. They are full and lush and tender. And he may bite one to see how much moisture it's got in it and to see, according to his taste, how tough the skin is on the kernel of corn. And when it's just right, they cut that stuff, they come in there and harvest that corn and take it off the market and sell it, and you got fresh roasting ears for dinner. Amen. And what he can't sell gets a little hard, they come through there and they combine that whole thing down and turn it into silage for the winter to feed the cows. He didn't do all that just for the fun of it. There was a reason for it. There was a process. The labor wasn't just for the sake of laboring. It was to produce something and to make something. It took a while. And you had to start when it was time. Now I got to thinking, boy, ain't that just like the springtime of our life? We bring them little old babies into the world. We can't bring them into the world for no reason, no purpose. They got a life ahead of them. They're God's heritage. Amen? They're the next generation of believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. They are our future. So you know what? We got to be just like that farmer. You got to come by every now and then. That farmer runs that corn by and looks back in there to see if there's any worms. And mama's looking at Junior to see if there's any dirt. But I mean, it's a little different. But you know what we do? We bring our little ones in here and we let them play and have fun, and we take care of them, and we protect them. It's like that first little shoot that comes up through the ground. It's tender and delicate. It needs watching after. It needs protecting. It needs our attention. We don't can't take our eyes off. And that's the way it is with our little ones. They take all of our time. They take all of our attention. They take all of our energy. They take all of our money. Amen? And then they get on up there, 4 or 5 years old, and we want them to be young plants. We want them to enjoy their development period. We want them to grow, but we want to kind of shape it and nurture it and look out for it. So mamas and daddies are teaching and training and pruning and working with and whatever it takes to help that child develop and become all that child can be and reach all of its potential. That's what we're there for. We're the farmer, and we're taking care of the plant, because one of these days it's going to be full grown. I got no time and no sympathy, no compassion for people that want to rob children of their childhood. These sex education people that want to start in the first and second grade in kindergarten. Leave them alone. They learn all that stuff in plenty of time. They ain't got to learn it tonight. Let them be a youngin' for a while. Let them be innocent for a while. Just let them live for a while. Everybody will tell them when they need all that stuff. We can see the changing seasons in their life. We want them to grow up too fast. Little girls and turn them into models and all that. No, sir, leave them alone. Let them be little young'uns. Let them little young'uns grow up. Let them enjoy the springtime of their life. Nobody expects anything out of a young plant planted in the springtime. We don't go out and look for a plant that's been in the ground for a week or 2 weeks expecting fruit. We're going to give it some time to grow and develop and mature. And if we see anything that slows that down or hurts that, we're going to fix it so it can grow and mature healthy and strong. Amen? Mom and Dad, we the farmer. We got to do whatever's necessary to make sure them kids get a good start. And get a good root system, and get grounded, and get founded, and then we help them and shape them and make them to be the strongest and the best that we can help them to be. So, I think springtime, youth of our lives, is for growing and developing. And it takes a lot of care and a lot of attention on our part. The children you ought to feel sorry for in this world are the ones who mom and dad have taken themselves out of their growing up process. Good moms and dads love them young'uns, and they get involved. I know you got to let the kid live its own life, and I understand you can overdo things. You can put too much fertilizer on anything and burn it up. Amen? But you better be ready with the fertilizer. We need to work with them young people. Let them be kids, but at the same time, shape and mold. We want to give them the attention and the care that they need. The reason you see a lot of the delinquents out here is because mom and dad is not involved in the children's lives. Bless God, you bring them into this old world. You stay involved. Amen? You say, well, you know, in the old days they did this. That may be so, but this ain't then. This is now. And things are different. The seasons have changed. Amen? Amen. Mom, I know people say, well, you know, when I was a boy, my mama, I was a boy. My mama would feed us breakfast in the summertime when school's out. We'd hit the back door 5 minutes after breakfast, and we'd be down in them woods and in them fields and in them creeks, and we'd come back home to supper time. Mama didn't know where we was at or what we was doing. She knew if anything bad happened, they had that party line telephone. Everybody in town had known it. We'd get down there and play stickball and jungle gym and cowboy and Indians and stickball and God only knows what all and fuss and fight and get back together. And that's just the way it was. But back then you didn't have people carrying little boys off and doing terrible things to them either. It was a different world and a different environment. Amen. Today, you know, mamas and daddies wasn't as involved, directly involved back in them days. Daddy was working like a dog to make a living. Mama was struggling over that scrub board doing them clothes and stuff, you know, cooking on that wood stove. Took all day to cook a pot of pinto. And kids, a lot of times, they just kind of on their own. But you live in a different world. Amen. And you better adjust to it and adapt. Or them kids will be gone, buddy. The world out there will suck them up. Number two, springtime is the youth of our life. It ought to be one of the best times. At least one of the most carefree times. Less responsibility, less duty, less expected out of us. It's because they're young and tender. It's our job to take care of them. Then, what comes after springtime? Well, summertime, of course, comes after springtime. Summertime is adulthood. Bible said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8, she provideth her meat in the summer. That's working. This lady is providing. That's what mamas and daddies do. We provide. We work. But if there's anything on this planet I got no time for, it's lazy people. If you won't work, go hungry.
Oh, I thought you was a Christian.
I am. If you'd have read the Bible, you know that was Christian. The Bible said, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. If you're too lazy to feed yourself and make your own way, then just do it out, sucker. Amen. Summertime is that period in life where we have time to labor and strength to labor. Summertime is where things get accomplished. Summertime is for prospering and preparing. Summertime is of our life is the time for us raising our kids and love and work and laying by for old age. Summertime is the point in your life when you are the strongest. You should be grown up and mature and strong and stout. And if you're ever going to get anything done, now's the time to do it. From 18 to 45 or 50 or whatever the time span is, that little summertime period right there, that's when you ought to be making a living and working. Amen? Every man ought to get him a job, work 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6 days a week. Amen? Everybody these days is looking for working less. France is about to destroy their country because they want to raise the retirement age from 60 to 62. Just lazy, lazy. Want something for nothing. Get off your blessed assurance and go to work. Make it a living. I hear people all the time say, well, I can't get a job. Sure you can. I'm 66 years old, almost a couple months. If I exaggerate this much, my wife will chew me out. She'll say, you're not 66 yet. I said, well, I know that. But I'm closer to 66 than I am 65. Anyway. Did you hear what she said? She said, you're not going to make it. I mean, I can go get a job in the morning. Now, I won't make what I'm making right now. And I may not like it. And I may have to get dirty. I may have to start at the bottom. But I bet you $50. That's what I got in my pocket. I bet you $50. I can have a job tomorrow before the sun goes down. I bet you tomorrow at 65, I can get a job and work long enough and hard enough. I may have to curtail my lifestyle. I may not be able to go and do like I do now, but I guarantee I will never have to go on welfare. Amen. Now, I may have to give up some stuff, and you may have to give up your extra two or three TVs and your cell phone and your iPod and your home computer and a whole bunch of other stuff, but you can get by on a whole lot less than you are without having to go on welfare and let somebody else keep your lazy butt up. But if you're in your prime, if you're between 18 and 60 or whatever, you ought to be working. You ought to be working. You ought to be laying by for your old age. People, they get 65, 66, and it's time to retire, and I hear them all the time, they can't retire. They got no savings, they got no 401k, they made no preparation, they still got a house payment, they still got a car payment. Now, if that's because of tragedy and things that came up, and sometimes that happens, sometimes there's a legitimate excuse for somebody getting down toward the sunset years and not having anything. But as a general rule, it's not. They just didn't do anything. They didn't accomplish anything. They didn't work anything. They didn't go to school. They didn't get an education. They didn't prepare. They got no training, so they flipped hamburgers till the day they dropped dead. Listen. The summertime of your life is the time when you have the energy and the strength. You have the ability to get something done. If you're going to accomplish anything in this life, it has to be done in that time frame. In the spring, you are too young and too tender and too underdeveloped and too unknowledgeable. Summertime is the time to get all that done. That's when you're the strongest and the most virile, and you got you're the most headstrong, and you've got the most determination. We waste those years. People say, well, all I ever do is work. That's all you're supposed to do. I'm here today, son. If you're married and got two or three little young'uns, you don't get no slack time. Vacations are a blessing. They're a privilege. Modern day Americans, you know, we got to have 6 weeks a year to go someplace. We just got to get away. No, you don't. What you need to do is buckle down and do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Your mama and her mama and the mama before that went for years and years and years and raised 8, 10, 12 kids and never got a vacation. It ain't that you can't, it's you won't. We ought to take that summertime of our life and get something done with it. Instead of wasting it. Your youth was for fun. You can pretty much waste the youth. I understand you have to have the training, and we already covered all that. But little young'uns, let them play. Let them be young. Teach them, direct them. They need some chores and this, that, and the other. I understand all that. So that when they become adults, they'll know how to do that kind of stuff. I understand that. But the real work of life gets done in the summertime. When you get to be Brother Carroll's age, you ain't hitting on much anymore. You're not going to work 8 hours down at the local garage. You're not going to climb up on them roofs and put down 10 squares of shingles today. Amen? So why? Because he's all broke up. That's why he wore out. That's got to be done when you're young and strong. I remember a few years ago, Brother Jim Lentz came down and we were re-roofing my house. And I was carrying the shingle. I don't know a funny thing about roofing. I'm just ignorant about carpenter work. But I could carry the shingles. He told me I could. Well, he put a bundle of shingles on his shoulder and a bundle of shingles on that shoulder, and up the ladder he went. I got me a bundle of shingles, put it on that shoulder. I said, well, I'm going up that ladder. I carried shingles for him. I carried them all up there, one bundle at a time. I didn't carry two, buddy. Well, a couple of years ago, me and Keefe had to re-roof my house again. I'll tell you how long I've been there. And I said, you carry the shingles. I carried a couple of bundles, and he carried the rest. I figured out how to put them chalk lines down and put them shingles down there and nail them. I was 60-something, he was 40-something. He can carry the shingles. Somebody say amen right there. Say why? Because that kind of stuff is for your youth. You get to a point you just can't do it anymore. So if you're ever going to get an education, if you're ever going to start a business, if you're ever going to accomplish anything, if you're ever going to start a career, you've got to do it in the summertime of your life. Don't waste it. The minute you get out of school, get busy, get committed, get dedicated, start it, and then finish the thing and accomplish something. Say, why? Because summertime don't last forever, that's why. Fall. Now, I love spring, and I really love fall. I'm glad we live in a place where the seasons change 4 times a year. Because usually the time it's time for them to change, I'm sick of it and ready for the next one. Amen. I wouldn't want to live someplace where it was the same old, day in and day out and day in and day out. I never had but two things that I wanted to last forever. I want my salvation to last forever, and I want my wife to last forever. Outside of that, I want everything else to change a little bit. Somebody say amen. Fall. I think fall is the golden days of life. I like fall. When you get that very, very first little crisp, cool morning. Maybe it's not cold enough for frost yet. Maybe you don't even have to wear a jacket yet. But when you walk outside first thing in the morning, you go, ooh, kind of chilly this morning. Right there. You know, right then, fall is on the way. And it's going to get colder, and the wind's going to blow. But boy, in the fall, especially the fall around here, we have a real long fall. The changing of our trees, the colors and all that stuff, and the falling of the leaves, takes literally 3.5 months to 4 months down here in this part of the country. Now, up north, the seasons change so quick, you almost don't know you're in fall, you're in winter. I don't know why anybody won't live in Connecticut or someplace like that. I mean, it's pretty in the summertime, but
45 minutes ain't long enough. I like it down here. The fall is just kind of long and drawn. And we probably have 60 or 70 days in our fall when it's just crystal clear, bright, sunshiny, and in the low 60s to the high 40s, which is comfortable to be outside with just a little light windbreaker on. You can go anywhere and do anything. It's great for getting out in the yard. It's great for the golf course. It's great for going to the mountain. It's great for going down to the... It's just great weather. Now, you planted the crops in the spring. They grew all through the summer. All the labor's pretty much behind you. In fall, it's harvest. That's when you lay by. Now, my grandma and grandpa lived down here in the lower part of South Carolina, were farmers. Well, he actually worked at a sawmill, but they farmed. And she canned and put stuff up, you know. And early fall, when the harvest comes in, boy, she canned everything. The maters and the succotash and the cucumbers. And she had potatoes in a barrel with a rag over it, and, you know. And sauerkraut. I mean, just, well, you go down to her basement and starve to death. There'd be big old things of beets and pickle of apples. And she'd have applesauce and sliced apples and spiced apples. And when wintertime got here, she wasn't going to have to go nowhere and do nothing. I mean, they could just sit right there and feast. But in the fall, she'd put all that stuff by, getting ready for wintertime. She was reaping the harvest that they had planted in the spring and grown in the summer, and now is mature. And they get all that laid by, and that only takes a little while. You ever notice that all the crops, when the wheat comes in just a week or two, everybody's got all the wheat's gone. When the potatoes come in, they come in there and turn them rows and pull them taters up on the top. In 3 or 4 days, all the potatoes are harvested. Apples, they get them apples off them trees. Apples don't last. I mean, they got them on them roadside stands selling mountain apples because they're different from flatland apples. But to harvest some apples only took a few days. Most of the crops are like that. Corn, you only got 3 or 4 days to get the corn, or it gets so tough you can't eat it. Well, what do you do after the crops are laid by? Well, you got all the rest of that fall to sit around. If you go down here in the lower part of the state, some little old slab lumber places I know, you find a bunch of old men sitting around there, and they call them spitting whittle clubs. A lot of saw back there, whopping pocket knives back and forth, whittling, and telling the same old lies and stories to each other. Sit there and drink a Coca-Cola, and take them 4 hours to drink a Coca-Cola. They go rabbit hunting. Them old men get their beagles out and let them dogs run out in the field. They just do whatever they want to do. They just take it easy. Well, spring is past. Summer is over. The crops are laid by. There ain't nothing to do till winter's over. So that old farmer, you say, well, he worked all spring and all summer. He did. But now he's going to kick back. You go down in the lower part of the state, down here around Chesty and stuff, that's where a lot of my folks are from. Well, we just pour white trash. And there'd be a little old store out there in the boondocks, about 12 by 12, and have an old Coca-Cola machine in there. You know, the kind they got down there is the kind that you raise the lid and you put the Coke in it, you know, on racks. And they're full of water. Man, that's good Coca-Cola, I'm telling you. But I'll tell you what, if there's anything better than a Coca-Cola out of one of them machines, it's a Dr. Pepper with a little bit of ice in the bottom of it. Man. Old man go down and mess around at the sawmill for a while, let his beagles run up through the gully, come back home, mama be frying up some okra, open some of that corn up. Go out to the smokehouse and get a slab of smoked ham. Man, it's tough, I'll tell you what. Feel sorry for them poor old rednecks. Not if you were sitting around their table, you wouldn't. I guarantee, buddy, you could walk in my grandmama's house sometime, and she'd starve you to death. She drank Louisiana coffee so strong, and so, that stuff could get up and walk around the rim of the cup. But you'd be walking down that road coming to the house, I tell you what, you'd almost be in a run before you got there. So what is it? Well, you know, old age is kind of like fall. It's the golden days. I'm 66. I've fought most all my battles. We raised all our kids. I got all the education I ever intend to get. I'm ready to quit working. I got my crops laid by. I got my little tiny 401, okay? I still got my sweetheart. God's been good to me. So what are you going to do in the fall? Man, that bright sunshine out there, I'm going to take this sweet little old girl I married, and I'm going to ramble all over the place. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to get out here and visit some folks for the church. Amen. Socialize a little bit. I'm going to give God some time. Then I'm going to take some time for me and her. I've been working since I was 12 years old. You know what I'm going to do in the fall of my life? Whatever I want to. Amen. As long as God will give us help, and I got a sweet thing, she wants to go to the mountains, I'm going to jump in my car, I'm riding. Amen. I ain't got to pray about it. I ain't got to ask nobody's opinion or advice or consent. I'm just going. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I earned it. I didn't take nothing for free. Amen. Went through springtime. Went through the summer. Raised them kids. Done the best we could. Now it's fall. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. You say, why are you saying that, preacher? Well, not because I'm getting to enjoy it. I want you to be able to enjoy it. In the youth of your life. In the summertime of your life. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't flit it away. Don't let it get away from you. Don't waste it. You say, well, it's hard and it's not fun. Do it anyway. Do what you're supposed to do. Accomplish what you can. Make as much as you can. Prepare for fall and winter. It's the only time you're going to get the chance to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the fall of my life. I'm looking forward to the golden days. Bright, crisp, cool mornings. Long, lazy afternoons. Some days I figure the biggest thing I'm going to do all day is feed my cats. You understand what I'm saying? See, you got a shot. You got a shot. You're still in springtime. Now, your spring's about over. You're still in springtime back then. Enjoy it. Summertime's coming, and it's time to work. It's time to do. It's time to produce. Be wise. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be lazy. Get off your lazy butt and get it done. And you say, well, I'm going to start next year. You won't start next year. Start now. You start putting things off, and it just gets easier and easier and easier and easier to put it off, and pretty soon the time will be gone, and you'll have nothing done. As your springtime turns into summer, get busy. Because before you know it, summer is over, and it's fall. And if you've planted and watered and taken care of it, you can lay by in the fall and enjoy that long, leisurely fall. Amen. You know why I'm looking forward to enjoying the fall? Because I know dead certain winter is coming. Now, I know a lot of people get depressed in the winter. My dad doesn't like rainy weather. He doesn't like inclement weather. He doesn't like winter. He gets depressed. And I never have quite understood it because I always enjoyed rainy weather, overcast weather, inclement. You just, he said, well, you can't do anything. Well, you know, you can do plenty. You just got to do something different. When the seasons change, you've got to change with them. See, if you go from fall into winter and you want to hang on to all the things you was doing in the fall, you're not going to enjoy the winter. Amen? So when you see winter coming, put up all the fall stuff and get out the winter stuff. That's what my wife does. I come home the other day. We had a perfectly lovely little house. It ain't fancy, but it's clean and decent. And we got it fixed the way we like it. We're happy with it. It's paid for, mine. But I come home and the top of my stereo and the entertainment center, that's what they call it, entertainment center, don't look like it did when I went to work. So I stop and look, and she's got these little pumpkin things, and this fall-looking wreath thing, and, well, the seasons are changing. We're putting out the Thanksgiving junk, you know. Amen. Everything changes. Everything changes. I'm not 25 anymore. You're not 25 anymore. You're not 25 anymore. You still look good, but you're not 25. And we've had to change as the seasons changed. Amen? Now listen, wintertime not far away from me. I'm smart enough. I've been watching. And I know that when people get up in their middle 60s, early 70s, and everything's going good, and they're still pretty strong and healthy, and everything's working good, and they're enjoying life. Boy, if you don't see them for 3 or 4 years, whew. I told my wife the other week, well, a couple months ago, I said, you understand that in the next 10 years, our lives will radically change. What we can do, where we can go, how we look, is going to take a nosedive. It's not going to get better. That's a delusion. Now, I'm not going to get despondent over it and get down in the dumps about it. I'm just facing the reality of it. But between now and then, I've got fall. I made as much out of summer as I know how. I said, well, you didn't accomplish much. That's true, but I did the best I knew how. I did all I could in the summertime. I'm going to enjoy the fall, and I'll deal with winter when it gets here. And you know, I about figured out, I've been trying to figure out a way not to get depressed about wintertime. Remember, I said, when the seasons change, you have to change with the seasons? You know, when you're in the springtime, you're being taught. When you're in summertime, you're producing. When you're in fall, you're reaping. You're enjoying. What do you do in the wintertime? Well, who do you think teaches the people in the springtime? Wintertime is our time to give back. Wintertime, that's the time in our lives when we should have some wisdom and some knowledge. We have done some things. We've seen some stuff. We've learned a few things. And it's now our opportunity. It's our privilege. We are blessed to be able to help the next generation who is in the springtime of their life enjoy the springtime but prepare for their summer. That means us mamas and daddies, us grandmas and grandpas can give back. While mom and daddy are out working and doing this, that, and the other, grandmas and grandpas have time. You know, when our kids were growing up, we had them all three in private school. And buddy, anybody's got 2 or 3 kids in private school, you pray for them because they ain't got a nickel. Just mark it down. They ain't got no money. Because ain't none of them private schools cheap. And all them private schools want to do all the stuff the public schools are doing, and mom and daddy got to take all that out of their pocket. I'm here to tell you, it's tough. Amen. It's worth it. It's worth it. But it's tough. What was I talking about? Man, I'm having such a good time. Yeah. Now, when we get into the wintertime, God gives us a space to enjoy what we've labored for in our life. Then He gives us a space to give back. You take some of these young people, I know a lot of stuff they don't know. I know they think they know everything. But they only think that. We really know it. Amen. We've been there. And what a blessing it is if I could take the good things and the bad things and be able to illustrate that and explain that to this young fella in such a way that he doesn't make the mistakes that I made. That he doesn't waste the time that I wasted. He doesn't taste the things I've tasted. And he don't never have the regrets that I have. What an opportunity. I've about decided I'm going to enjoy wintertime about as much as I enjoyed it spring and summer and fall. God giving me time and grace, I want to give back some of the lessons that God has given me. Is that what you want to do? Now that takes you to the course of your life. The end of winter, of course, is death, and then you just, it's one octave up and you go home to glory. Amen. Eight notes in an octave, we finish our octave, we next octave up. Don't waste it. Utilize every part of it. Make as much out of your youth as you can. Make as much out of springtime as you can. And then, when summer comes, do all you can do. Work, labor, save, get. And when old age, when fall of the year comes, you can lay by, kick back, and enjoy a little bit. And when winter sets in, and the old body gets frail, and you run out of strength, and you run out of fight, and things at one time would have raised your hackles and got you engaged in a battle no longer make you fly off the handle. When the fight is gone, maybe you'll have enough wisdom, enough knowledge, and maybe God will be good to you and give you an opportunity and put some young person who's just starting across your path and let you be a help to them and an encouragement. Amen? Now, I've preached that whole message and haven't said anything about God. There's a book in the Bible that does that, you know. God not mentioned. So I'm scriptural here. Let me say this. Everything I just said, I believe to be true. But the best springtime is a springtime that's built around fellowship, relationship with God. The best summer anybody ever had is a summer spent with Jesus Christ. The best friend in the fall of your life will be the Savior that took every step you took. And when wintertime comes, the one who can march you down the road and through the gate has been with you all your life. The best thing you can do in your life, the best thing, is in the springtime of your life, learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him your heart and your soul. Give Him your life. And He'll be with you through every changing season. And when you get to that single point in life, the end of winter, when nobody can help, nobody can comfort, nobody can assist, He and He alone will reach down and take you by that hand that He's held a million times before and walk you across that great divide and into that city. The fire. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. And I pray, Lord, we cannot stop the seasons from changing.